Hey, it's Cindy, and you're listening to the Tiny Course Empire podcast, episode number 113. Now, you might have noticed that we've been on hiatus for a little bit, but we are back with a brand new guest, and I'm really excited for you to meet her, and I'm looking forward to this new season of the podcast as well. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Tiny Course Empire podcast, a weekly show dedicated to helping you launch and grow your digital course business, even if you don't have a big team or a six-figure ads budget. We'll help you design smart systems, take consistent action, and achieve massive success on your own terms. Now, here's your host, Cindy Bedar.
All right. We are here today with Amy Kufall, and I'm super excited to talk to her because she is a woman after my own heart, and you will find out why as we get into this conversation. But first, let me let you know about Amy. She is a lead generation and email marketing specialist, and you guys know that email marketing is close to my heart as well. Amy's the founder of The Inbox Entrepreneur, which is a monthly membership site that helps online business owners grow their audience, generate more leads, and nurture those leads through simple, fun, and customizable weekly newsletter templates so that when they have a product or a service to sell, they have a sea of eager buyers primed and ready to make that purchase. I want to hear more about those templates. Amy also is an advocate for the anti-hustle entrepreneurship, and she's a super fan of simplicity, systems, and structures. So I know that you guys can immediately know why I was so excited to have Amy on the show. So Amy, welcome. Thanks for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this conversation as well.
I am too. Man, I have been talking about systems. Well, the name of my membership is Six Figure Systems. So I have been talking about systems forever. And I don't know, I get a lot of pushback about it. Do you get some pushback? Do people say, yes, to you, I don't want systems? That sounds boring.
But I think my enthusiasm for data and systems really will win people over.
Yeah,
I get it. And I think we work with entrepreneurs. So I think by nature, entrepreneurs tend to be very creative, you know, flowy. I am one of those entrepreneurs that if you can put it in a spreadsheet and track it, it is my favorite thing in the world.
Oh my God, yes. Give me a good spreadsheet and I am just a happy camper.
Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy? Did you, so before you got started online, was your day job like in data engineering or anything like that?
No, I actually took a pretty winding path to get to where I am now. I went to high school, out of high school, went to college for education. So by degree, I'm a certified K-12 health and phys ed teacher. And did that because everyone tells you, you know, if you're going to be a mom one day, you want the summer vacations and this is the secure path and all of the crazy things that we get told along the way that shape, you know, at 18 years old, what we believe. So I did that. I actually taught for just under a decade, which has its benefits. But the entire time I was running my own business on the side, I think I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Always kept feeding that or watering that seed because I knew there was going to be a point. Like, I've been a single mom since it's 12 years now since my daughter was born. So it wasn't feasible to jump 2 feet in to entrepreneurship at the beginning, but I was always just kind of watering that seed until the point that I was finally able to jump out and make my part-time business full-time.
That's awesome. I had to laugh when you said teachers get the summer off. I know several teachers and I don't think any of them get the summer off.
No, and the ones that do,
that's the lie that they tell teachers.
It's recovery time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So you specialize. So you're big into systems, you're big into data, which I absolutely love, but you also specialize in email marketing and lead generation. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true because when I started, so my original business that I had come out of teaching for health and wellness. I was certified as a personal trainer. So I started doing that. That was all one-to-one in person, but always had this itch to pull my business online. So what I ended up doing is years ago, I pulled my health and fitness business online, but it's not really something that comes online very easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that. It doesn't scale, right? And that was the hard thing. And I didn't want to be 75 years old teaching push-ups. Like, I really, that wasn't my thing. So I'm like, okay, let me think, how can I make my business easier? And through learning how to make my business easier, the one thing that kept coming out to me was email marketing. I would go to networking events, I would post a million and one reels on social media, and it wasn't getting me the traction. The second I started building my email list and nurturing them regularly, that's when I saw my own business, online business, start to scale.
That's awesome. I love it. I love that you teach email marketing, because I think that's such an important thing. And I love that you focus on it, because I think that's something you can go really, really deep on. In my business, I kind of run the gamut of all online marketing kind of stuff, you know, content marketing and email marketing and sales page writing and course creation and all of those things for a newer entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. Because they need all of those things.
Yeah, you
but
do.
Then it's once a big you learning have curve. That Yeah, once you have that foundation in place, then you really want to start digging deep into things like email marketing. How can I do this better? How can I earn more with my email list? How can I grow it faster? All of those things. So I love that you focus in on that. In fact, you have a tool that you created for this. Can you tell us a little bit about the lead generation pyramid? Because this just fascinates me.
Absolutely. So yeah, so what it was is once that I shifted from in-person to online, there was a learning curve. So I started doing all the things. I started, like I said, going to networking events. And then after a networking event of 20 people, a virtual networking event of 20 people, you'd have about 15 reach out to you to do like one-on-one coffee chats. So my whole schedule was filled with these like one-on-one coffee chats and these networking events. And I was doing all the reels and it really just wasn't panning out. So I said, okay, this is not scalable. This is not sustainable. How can I strip it down to the most basic elements and really just go deep on those? So from there, that's where for myself, I created what I call the lead generation pyramid. I said, okay, to make my online business successful, there's really four things that need to happen. The first, and this is the base of the pyramid, is audience. So how do I get more eyes and ears onto me and my offer? Okay, so that's how do we build that? How do we get more traffic? From there, the next step would be, how do I get those audience members onto my email list? So that's when we call it lead. So base of its audience, second level up is leads. That means that they're on my email list. From there, how do I take those leads and nurture them week over week to the point that they're going to be ready to buy the thing that I'm selling? So leads, and then the top is clients and customers. So it's audience members, leads, aligned prospects would be our third level up, and then clients and customers is the fourth.
Love it. Love it. And I heard you talk about that on someone else's podcast, and I thought, oh, this is just, I love the way you've really simplified it and streamlined it, and it's super, super clear. So I absolutely love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. So you mentioned that you weren't able, it was difficult for you to scale your kind of one-to-one business, right? So you decided to go all in on the online thing so you could do the one-to-many, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's right. And even actually when I first came online, I was still doing a ton of one-to-one.
Oh,
and
okay.
I was working 50 plus hour weeks and it was exhausting. And so for me, it's like, as a single mom, I was a homeschooling mom as well. And then also trying to run this business that's 50 plus hours a week. You can do that for the short term, but you cannot do that for the long term.
Can't do it forever.
Yeah. No. So at that point it was like, let's go one to many.
Mm-hmm. So it was your email list that set you free from that?
Yes, it absolutely was, because a lot of what it was twofold. One, it was going one to many, of course, but then two, it was looking at what wasn't working. So all of those things that I was trying to do to build and nurture my list. So the building of the list, I was scattered. Like I said, I was on social media. I was on networking events. I was doing all the things. And my way of nurturing them prior to building my email list, had a prospect list of all of the people that I've talked to and conversations that we had. And I was circling through month over month, reaching out to those people individually, you know, in the DMs, sending them a one-off email. Hey, just check it up. How's it been? That's a lot of work versus if we can get them onto our email list, Then I'm sending out one email to my list, replying to the people that reply to me, but I'm not sending out 100 emails.
Right.
And it's curated, you know, it's really designed in a way that's going to, a lot of what I do is I design the emails that I'm sending out in a way that's utilizing messaging and marketing tactics that have been shown to move people on the line and warm them up to buy as well.
Right. So where you were doing the kind of classic sales strategy, right? Where you're the salesperson and you're reaching out and you're circling back and you're reaching out again and you're circling back. Now you get to kind of compress that all into a single email that you're sending. What, how often do you email your list?
So I do once a week. I've been toying with the idea of doing a little bit more, but at this point it is once a week.
Yeah. So what does that once a week email look like typically?
Yeah. So I actually have 9 different types of emails that I send. So it's always going to be one of those 9 different types. For example, the one that I sent this past, it's actually Tuesday. So the one that I sent on Tuesday is all about behind the scenes. So that's one of those 9 types behind the scenes. Here's a couple things that have been going on in my business. You know, I've got on XYZ podcasts. I've participated in 2 bundles over the last month. And also a segue into what I'm currently doing, what my current signature offer is.
Awesome. So you're promoting something every week in your newsletter.
Yeah. And depending on, I think that there's definitely a difference between the times that we're hard selling the email, because that's a big objection that I hear a lot of people say, especially when they come into my membership. I say, you know, we're going to be sending out an email at least once a week. And they're like, well, I don't want to be selling all the time and I don't want to seem spammy and all of these things. Because I think that when people think about email marketing, they think about all the gross emails that we get in our inbox every single day, quite honestly. And all of these emails are buy my stuff. But when we're cycling through these 9 different types of emails, not all of them are direct sales. I will say, though, you should always be giving people the opportunity to buy in every single one of your emails. But that doesn't mean that it has to be a direct sales email.
Right.
So one of the ways that I do that is if my email, for example, like this is a behind the scenes one, some of the emails that I send will be like a value-based educational content. I always put in the PS a super signature. So there's 4 different things within that. So I might say, you know, PS, when you're ready to learn a little bit more, when you're ready to take things a step further, here's a couple ways you can do that. You can listen to my podcast. That's free. Here it is. Boom. You can do this low ticket offer. You can jump into my membership. You can book a VIP day. So that's not part of that main email,
right?
But it's just attached there for those people that are ready now. I don't want to miss the opportunity if someone's ready now to take things a step further to not have that there for them.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So what's your, if you don't mind my asking, like what's your conversion rate on these PSs?
Good. So, but you know what it is? So it's a good conversion rate. However, what I will say is they're not going to get that super signature in their weekly emails until they've already gone through my welcome sequence, my freebie delivery, my more direct sales sequence. So essentially I have sequences in place to start. So right when someone gets on my email list, there's a couple sequences that they're going to go through that are going to be, if they're those people that are looking to buy right away, mm-hmm. they've already gone through a direct sales sequence. The people that are getting these week over week nurture sequences that I'm, or really a daily, weekly email blast, those are the ones that have gone through the objection handling sequences, have gone through the sales sequence, but still haven't bought yet.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That makes sense. So they've been hanging out on your list for a little while. Mm-hmm. They came in mm-hmm. for a really juicy freebie.
Yep.
probably may never buy from you at all. So you're just feeding them a weekly newsletter packed with value and interesting stuff, and they get to hang out until they're ready to buy or not.
Yeah. And I just think it's because, and what I think another mistake I see people making a lot is that they don't do direct sales from the beginning. A number of the clients that I work with that come into my membership, they're going to get someone on their email list and they're going to immediately go into like those education, the value-based things with like a soft sell or no sell at all.
No
and
sell.
And I'm like,
no call to action.
Like, and they're like, but why isn't my email list making money? And I'm like, oh my God, because you're not selling. That's why. So because they think if they sell from the start, it's going to be salesy. It's going to be spammy. They don't want to annoy people. But the reality is when someone opts into our email list, they've got onto our email list because either they have a pain point that they think that we can help them solve, or they've got a transformation that they think that we can help them achieve.
Right.
So I heard the example recently and I'm like, oh my God, this paints the picture perfectly. If any of us have this like massive like pain point that we're dealing with, and the analogy that was given is if you like went to the hospital, you run to the ER and your like leg was gashed and you've got blood everywhere and it's this like horrible scene and you're running into the ER and the doctor sits you down and he's like, oh, I see that you're like bleeding out really massively right now. Let me tell you about all of my areas of expertise. Like, look at my wall of certifications. And I've helped 50 other people with legs just like yours. And legs are really important. I want you to know. They don't care. They have a problem that they want
awesome.
Solved. Right. They have this problem that they want solved immediately. Help them. At least give them the opportunity.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And then the people that don't have that high of an emergency, that high of a pain point, they're going to stay on our list for a little bit of time. There are definitely people that are going to want to see more of our expertise. They're going to want to see that we're in this for the long game. And that's where those week over week nurture sequences come in.
I love that. I love that analogy. That is just spot on. Yes.
Graphic, but spot on.
It is graphic, but it definitely paints the picture for sure. I absolutely love it. So let's talk about lead magnets for a minute. So what is your advice for lead magnets? This is something that a lot of my students kind of struggle with. Like, what am I supposed to create? Can it, you know, is it big? Is it small? Do I need to make a course? Can it be a one page? Like what's your formula for that? Do you have I'm sure you have a formula because you're a systems person.
I do. So the couple pieces of advice that I would give people if they're looking to build their lead magnet is, number one, we want to think about the title, because that's going to be the first thing that's catching people. Okay.
Mm-hmm,
so
good
the
point.
Purpose of our lead magnet is to get people onto our list. And I always think about, with everything I'm doing in business, what is the one job of that thing? So the one job of the lead magnet is to get someone onto your email list. Even if your lead magnet was totally a disaster, which it's not going to be, but even if it was, its main job is to get someone on your list. You can recover if your next sequences are amazing. So if the lead magnet, like whatever, it was not that great, you could pick it up with email. Okay. So first job is like, let's think about, how do we make this something that's really high demand, high desire for our ideal client or customer so that they opt in? That's number one. Second thing, then we want to think about really making sure that the content within that lead magnet is strong, okay? Because people are going to judge the quality of our paid offers based on the quality of our lead magnet. So the, right? And I see this mistake a lot too, is that people will give this, like, I don't know, fluff lead magnets is what I guess I would call it. Like 10 item checklist. Like, I don't know, like that's not that amazing. Like for me, I want to really over deliver on my lead magnet. Because if someone's going, oh my gosh, you know, Amy gave me all of this for free, I can't even imagine what she gives inside her paid offer if this is what the free stuff looks like. So that's when we want to think about that. And the third point I would say is, make it a small, digestible win. What
yes.
you don't want to do, right? And again, like a mistake that we see is that people make these massive lead magnets. Now, what's going to happen is, if the purpose of the lead magnet, yes, it's to get someone on your email list, but it's also to get them to take that next step, which is going to be working with us. If they're spending all this time going through your lead magnet, it's delaying them actually working with you. And if they fall off, you know, if your lead magnet takes them a month to go through and 2 weeks in they fall off, they're going to think, you know, I just don't have the capacity to do whatever the program is.
Yep. I tell people that all the time. It's got to be, if your lead magnet is something that somebody's going to download and look at and say, I'm going to look at this later, I don't have time right now, they will never come back to it.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And especially if those lead magnets are in things like bundles, where they're getting a lot of lead magnets.
Where they're getting a bunch of them. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You don't want it to be super long. And see if you agree with this, but I always think if we're doing video, 20 minutes or less.
Oh, yeah.
Don't make this 45 minute thing for that. If it's like some sort of PDF, a couple pages that they can go through. And again, purpose, they want to have that quick win, and a really well-designed lead magnet gives them this win, but also shows them, okay, you've just met milestone A, but we also have B through Z. to get you to your transformation. So it should open up that, yes, you did something awesome. Good job. We're proud of you. You succeeded. And here's the next steps.
Here's
and
the
here's
next
how you get
thing.
Them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I tell my students, that your lead magnet needs to be quick to consume. It needs to be actionable, and it needs to take people one step closer to paying you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the keys. So yeah, I love it. Totally. Absolutely. So what's your best performing lead magnet? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
No, absolutely. So I'm reworking my lead magnet right now. So the one that I just created, it's actually called Write Better Emails, but I think I'm going to be playing with that title a little bit right now. But it's either going to be Write Better Emails, which is what it currently stands at, or Monetize Your Email List. And essentially, it's just a quick three-part little module that is going to talk about, starts out by saying, I have these 9 different types of emails that if you're going to be monetizing your list, here are the 9 different types of emails that you want to send. Here's the one that we're going to work on. It gives them a template to go through so that they can write an email real quick. And then it also says, here's the editing tool that I use, it's an amazing editing. It's Hemingway. I'll give it away here. If people don't use, it's the Hemingway editing app.
Give away the secret.
I know. But yeah, so it's going to allow them to create a really, really well-designed single email, and then open up the doors if they want to learn how to create the other 8 emails. Then that's within the membership itself.
Excellent. I love that. So that's one that you're reworking right now.
Yeah. I mean, reworking, it'll be done by the end of the day. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that brings up a good point. You're creating or reworking a lead magnet, and it's going to be done by the end of the day. How long, like how much time do you think people should put into their lead magnets?
That's a tough question to answer, actually, I think, because it's going to depend on, I don't create content very quickly. I wish I did. It's just not something that I'm super quick at. So for me, it takes a little bit longer. I would say don't take so long that you're not taking action, because I think we can get stuck in perfectionism, and a 50% lead magnet is better than not putting a lead magnet out there.
Better than the 0% lead magnet.
Right. And I say that with emails too, like a not so great email is better than no email. So if you think, I don't have time to write this amazing email this week, send something. Better than nothing, because we want consistency. So that's what I would say for the lead magnet. Get something pretty good out there. You can always rework it. You can always tweak it. You can always finagle the title. Like you'll see what I'm doing right now. I'm finagling the title a little bit. But get something out there.
We're not carving anything in stone, people.
No,
something
right.
Out there. I know. Unfortunately, I know people who have spent literally months creating a lead magnet, and I want to cry for them.
Yes.
I give people a deadline. When I'm working with private clients, if I feel like that might be an issue for them, I give them a deadline. Like, you must have this done by the end of the weekend. That's how long you have.
And then go back and rework it.
If you need to, but get it done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't spend weeks or months, you know, agonizing over, you know, your word choices or your graphic choices or your title. Get it done. Publish it.
Yeah. And I would say too, there. If it helps for, I'm like a big, like, I think I'm a big visual person, but an analogies person, as we can tell. But one of the things that I heard that I was like, okay, that's a great way to describe it, is if your lead magnet is the thing that's going to save someone. So if you're walking down the beach and you saw someone out in the sea and they're kind of floundering around and you're like, oh my gosh, they're drowning. Would you be like, oh, like I need to go take a swimming course. Like I'm not the best swimmer and I have this life raft, but I could have a better life. No, you're going to jump in. You're going to try to save them with what you have in that moment. That's your lead magnet. That could be the thing that someone has nothing. They need your help. That could be the first step, a lifeline for them. That don't worry about what color your float is.
Yeah.
Get out there and save them.
Yeah. You do have a knack for the graphic analogies. I love it.
Legs falling off and people are drowning. It's going to be a hot mess, but you know what? We're going to save them all with our lead magnet.
That's right. So how do you suggest that people get started? Like how can people know what is the right lead magnet to even create? How do they, if they're brand new, they come to you and they say, I am brand new to list building. I've been, you know, working online. I'm doing consulting, or I'm doing coaching, or I'm a freelancer, or I'm about to quit my day job, whatever. I know I need to start an email list. What do I create as my lead magnet? How do I do that?
What I would say is think about your ideal client. Think about where your ideal client typically is when they first come into your world, when they first reach out to you, when they first hear about you. Paint that picture first. Where are they there? Where do they want to be at the end? What's that big result or transformation that they're looking to achieve? From there, think about what are the 10, 12 milestones that they probably have to achieve in order to get from point A, where they are, to where they want to be. Then your lead magnet should be solving one of those milestones. So the first one. So what is that first milestone that they need to achieve on that journey? And then think about what the other thing, we're talking a lot of mistakes that people I see and people making, but another mistake I see people making is they get too stuck on, should I make a quiz? Should I make a PDF? Should I make a video? That should come secondary to what result you want to help people get. Because when you know the result that you want to help people get, then you can just think about, okay, what container, quiz, you know, video makes the most sense for this material.
Right. Yes. Yes, I fully agree. So once they have that lead magnet created, then the next biggest struggle that I see for my students is then they come to me and say, well, now what do I do with it? How do I get it in front of people?
Put it everywhere. Okay, that's that. I joke, but not joke. I am the queen of simplicity. Okay, I'm like, pick one place to show up for your audience. Pick one signature offer. Pick one way of selling. One. Like, makes your life easier. The only time you're not going to hear me say one is when people ask, where do I put my lead magnet? Because that's where I'm going to answer everywhere.
Anywhere, right? You everywhere. Can.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so a couple specific people are saying, okay, yeah, okay, Amy, everywhere. But what does that mean? Specifics, number one, put it in your social media bio, right? And that's usually where people stop, unfortunately, but put it in your social media bio. Mm-hmm. Then anytime you're guesting on a podcast, you want to talk about it. Anytime, I think it should be a couple times in the homepage of your website. So right when people get onto your website, that's the next step. It's the clear and obvious next step for them to do is grab this lead magnet. I've even got creative before and did like old schools, and I got leads from this, which is funny. Old school 8x11 flyer. Mm. I printed out, like literally printed out, had it in my hand, a little flyer about my lead magnet, made a QR code and put it up in the library and the grocery store bulletin boards and got people scanning and hopping on my list that way.
I love that.
Yeah. So you really can get creative. I would just say anywhere that you think your people are, make sure that they can get your lead magnet there.
Excellent. I remember hearing the story years ago that Marie Forleo, when she was brand new, the way she started her email list, she had a job working in a cafe as a waitress, and she had a yellow legal pad, and she would ask people if they wanted to be on her mailing list. And she was in the fitness niche as well at that time. And she would ask people if they wanted to be on her mailing list, and she'd write down their email address. And when she got home at night, she would enter them into her email.
Right, manually. Platform. I mean, yeah. She's a hustler, yeah. Though.
Scrappy.
Right.
Scrappy is the word
first,
for it.
You know?
You have to be a little scrappy. You have to be brave enough to put yourself out there. You have to be confident enough to stand up and say, this thing that I created that I'm giving away is of value to you. You need it. And here's how you can get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe the piece that a lot of online entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs may be missing, is that confidence piece that, you know, yes, this is good stuff and people need it, and I'm going to put it in front of everybody. And again, it's because I think they feel like they're being salesy or pushy or whatever. And what I like to tell people is that selling to someone is an act of service. You are helping them to solve that problem. You're helping them to stop the bleeding in the leg, or you're helping them to stop drowning. So don't be too shy to offer your assistance.
And I just think about too, even like on that same note, it's think about all of, like, I know I've taken a bunch of business courses, I've read books, I've done all these things. Where would I be in my own career had those business coaches not sold to me, had those books not been on the shelf, had all of those things not happened, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't have been able to quit my job. I would still be in a job that I don't love. So I am so thankful for the people that have sold to me.
Yeah, that is such a great way to look at it, to be grateful for the people who have sold to you, and now you get to return the favor. I love that.
Yeah, definitely.
So talk to me about the actual systems, because people are going to ask, what are you using? What do you recommend?
In terms of email marketing systems,
email
like
marketing, yeah.
Yeah. Tools itself, I'm also switching over. I did all of my email marketing actually in order to make, again, I'm very much into simplicity. In order to make it all in one place, I housed my website, everything through Wix, and was able to grow my email list through Wix at first. I'm at the point now that there's a lot of automations that I want to do in my own business that can't be done on that platform. So I'm shifting over to ConvertKit only because I've looked at a bunch. A lot of people really love ConvertKit. And the other big sticking factor for me is I've gained a lot of knowledge through them, which again, it's like, hello, like the benefit of the free offers that they're putting out here. We have an awesome blog. They have awesome resources on their site. So I've gained so much free knowledge through them that it's almost like I owe them at this point. I'm like, of course, any dollar I invest with you, like I've already made it back tenfold in terms of their free content.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. I'm with ConvertKit as well. I switched at the end of 2023 from ActiveCampaign. I was an ActiveCampaign fangirl for a lot of years. And then I made the switch to ConvertKit at the beginning of the year. And I'm really, really liking ConvertKit. It ties in with your simplicity philosophy.
Yeah.
ConvertKit keeps things very, very simple. I really like the way they do business. And you're right, they do a whole ton of educational content. So if you want to know how to grow your email list or how to do something in ConvertKit, it is all there. They do a great job of that.
That does tend to be the biggest selling point for me. If I go on their website and there's video tutorials and there's all different things. So you don't feel like you're just swimming, you know, you don't feel like you don't know. It's like you can actually go through their resources and figure things out pretty simple. I also love about them just the aesthetic. That's
Yeah.
always a make or break for me as well, the aesthetic of their platform.
Yeah.
Because you can be hanging out in it a lot. Like you don't want to be, I mean, it's like a house. If your house is ugly, you're not going to want to be there all the time. Like it's a nice place to show up. They do a good job.
Yeah, they do a good job. I'm super impressed with them. I'm really enjoying using them, and I think they've got more good things on the horizon.
Absolutely.
So what didn't I ask you that I should have? What did I miss?
That's a good question. I think you didn't. I think you covered a lot of things, which is really good. I think that the big thing that if there was any takeaways that I could just have your listeners knowing before we left is one is that email's not salesy. People get on our list because they want to hear from us. And just shifting that mindset of when we're showing up in their inbox every single day, it's to deliver value. And I think if we didn't quite dive deep into that, we could just touch on now is that I have found one of the biggest indicators in my own success in terms of whether people are going to buy from me down the line, whether they're going to stay on my list long term, is that welcome sequence. So really having a strong 3 to 4 initial emails that you're sending people that are going to set up the expectations, that are going to be very clear about who you are, what your vibe is, what they can expect from your email list. Because if we do that really well, people become raving fans. People stay on our list long term.
Excellent. So that welcome sequence, do those go out once a week as well, or are they getting those more frequently?
So that they're going to, the one that I have now, it's a 3-part sequence. So essentially what's going to happen is anytime that either direct opt into my newsletter through my website itself, or whenever they grab one of my lead magnets, they're just going to get that automated 3-part sequence. From there, it's going to go into then the other emails, but that's always a 3-part. And the big thing there is, and what I would really advise for people if they're drafting their welcome sequence or redoing their welcome sequence, double down on your vibe and your values from the start, because especially in the online space, there's so many people doing what we do. Okay. We're one of many, you know, there's a lot of lead generation people. There's a lot of email marketing people. There's a lot of business coaches. So we can't double down on the thing that everyone else is doing. Like, who cares? you need to double down on like, this is why I'm different. This is my energy. Like for me, like I said, I'm big into simplicity. I'm also big into making things fun. So you'll see within my welcome sequence, even just the word choice that I'm using, I'm trying to make it a little bit more humorous, a little bit more light, so that people will naturally sort themselves out. For sure, people probably will come through my welcome sequence and be like, that girl is not for me. And honestly, I would rather them know that and me know that from the start versus having someone that's not a great fit enroll in our programs or purchase our products, because they're going to be dissatisfied customers. They're going to be the ones that return. They're going to be. So as much as we can do from the very beginning to really showcase who our brand is, what our values are, who would be a great fit, I think it's just going to serve the client and you a lot better down the line.
Yeah, let your personality show through. Yes, there used to be, I don't know how long you've been online, Amy. I've been online for more than a decade, probably close to two now. And there used to be this trend toward looking very corporate. You know, you would see websites, and I'm talking specifically about freelancers, and all of the photography would be like stock photos of like men in business suits, and the voice of the content was all very, very formal and like a high school English teacher wrote it, right? And I always thought, oh, that there's nothing that sets you apart at that point from anyone else. There's nothing. There is nothing unique about you if that's your style, if that's your tone. But by injecting your personality into it, having a little fun with it, being a little contrary and taking a stand on things that you think are important, that's what really will set you apart. And that's what will keep people coming back to your list. That's what keeps people opening your email. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, along 100%.
Along those same lines, you know, we're seeing a lot of, over the last couple of years, a lot of integration with AI tools. What's your stand on using AI in email marketing? Like, are you using it? Are you ignoring it? What are you doing?
I am using it to a small extent. And here's where I'll use it. I'll draft my entire email first. So I think that's where the mistake happens, is people go to the AI tool first and then they write. I do it actually the reverse. Well, I'll say two ways. Either use the AI just to give you a framework and a starting point, because I don't want people, especially if they're writing, we have templates, but if they were looking without a template to write an email, you don't want to be staring at a blank page forever. So potentially you could use that AI tool just to give you a framework. The way I tend to use it though, is I'll draft my whole email first. Then I'll put that entire email into like a ChatGPT is one of the ones I use. I also use the Hemingway editor. I'll put it in there in, for example, ChatGPT and say, can you make this more concise? Or can you fix any punctuation or grammar errors that are in this? So it's cleaning it up more than it is, because I think we can't, that's never going to be our voice. Hey, well, I shouldn't say never. I don't know where this world's going. For now, never say never. No, right now it sounds like every other email that every other person's going to spit out without your voice, without your tone. So I wouldn't recommend that. But I definitely think it's a great tool for dialing things in. If you feel like you're someone that writes in a way that's too wordy, for example, that would be a great tool to use.
Love it. I love that. It's funny you mentioned, you know, I'm kind of anti-AI. I will use it to a very limited extent, but there's also tools that I do use, like Grammarly, which is similar to Hemingway, right? I use Grammarly to clean up my spelling errors and punctuation errors. And I find that I have to be careful with Grammarly, because if I let it have its way, it will turn my original personality-driven email into something that sounds like corporate speak.
Yeah. And even with Hemingway, and that's what I say to people, if you're using Hemingway, like that's one that I promote a lot. I put my email in there and it'll say, oh, this email's written at I don't know, they actually go up to like grade 16, something like grade 16. I don't know why that is, but it'll be like, this is a grade 15 piece of writing. Here's some edits that you can make. But you can always say no thanks.
Yeah.
Like I'll approve some of them, and some I'll say, no, I actually like the.
Yeah. I I turned down a lot of Grammarly's suggestions as well. Like, no, 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 I'm not saying that. I would never use that word. No.
Right, right, exactly.
That's awesome. So you mentioned that you have a membership. What's your email marketing membership about? Tell me.
Yeah,
about
it's called the Inbox Entrepreneur. And essentially, this is a monthly membership. What they're going to get inside there is there's a couple of core courses that are already in there. So one is all about that lead generation pyramid that we talked about. How do we streamline the whole process from getting eyes on us and our offer all the way up to making the sale? There's another course in there. It's all about how to design a high converting lead magnet. Another one in there all about branding. And that's where we talk about branding. It's not colors. It's not, I mean, it is, but that's just the surface level. It's how do we really figure out us as a company, what we stand for, what we stand against, what our brand voice is. So there's core courses like that that are really going to set people up so that the emails that they're writing are really effective. And then every single week, they're going to get a brand new template that has 75% of the copy written for them and just lets them know, okay, plug in a little bit about here, like plug in your client's pain point here, plug in a story here, so that it's going to take all of the guesswork out of that email writing process for people. Because that's where I think people get stuck. They're like, I get building an email list is important. I get writing to them consistently is important, but I don't know what to write. That takes all of that care of it all for you.
That's awesome. So you're recommending, if I'm hearing this correctly, you're recommending that people email their list every single week. And in your membership, you're giving them the template to send them every single week. Here you go. Yep. Fill in the blanks, yep. Send this email, boom, you are done.
It's done. Yeah. And the cool part about that is it's not just a template that they're getting. What they're really getting is they're getting the template. I'm doing a video recording walking through the template. They're getting an explanation of why this email is important to them. What's the purpose behind it? Okay, this week we're talking about behind the scenes. Okay, maybe the next week is where what I call selling the vehicle. So I talk a lot about if you have a program or a membership, don't try to promote your program or membership. Try to promote what I call the vehicle, that thing that gets them to the results. So for me, that would be email marketing. Mm. I'm going to talk about why email marketing is the best choice for them to get their results.
Mm-hmm.
And then versus, I think that it just breaks down the resistance a little bit. Because if we're promoting our stuff, they're like, well, of course you're promoting your stuff. It's your stuff. But if we're sharing how email marketing can serve them, and we're saying, by the way, I also teach email marketing, that becomes an easy next step. So these templates are going to be built around the 9 different essential types of emails that we send. Everyone has the video. Everyone has the explanation. And then all of them also incorporate what I would call like marketing and messaging tactics. So like future pacing or things that have been shown through psychology to help promote buying behavior.
Mm, love it. I love it. How can people find out more about the Inbox Entrepreneur?
Absolutely. So they could just go, it's my website. It's amykufal.com/inbox.
And that is Amy, KUPHAL.
That's right. Yep.
All right. amykufal.com/inbox. And I will, of course, put the link in the show notes. Amy, this has been fantastic. Is there any last words, anything else you want people to know, do?
I say just get started. Don't. And I know that you probably tell this a lot on your show and in your membership as well. Just get started. None of us were perfect to begin with. Your emails might not be perfect the first time you write them. They're going to be pretty good though, because you're following a template. They'll be pretty good. But don't wait on perfection. Just get going. An email sent is better than none sent.
Yeah, I'm going to let that be the last word. You heard it here. An email sent is better than no email sent. So go send an email. Thank you so much, Amy, for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure having you. I enjoyed learning about your business. And I will put all the links that we talked about in the show notes so people can come and check out what you have to offer.
Very good. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
If you like what you hear on the Tiny Course Empire podcast, you're going to love all of the courses and workshops and support you'll find inside Six Figure Systems. That's my monthly program where we dig into online marketing for regular people like you and me. We don't do big launches, we don't have the big headaches, and we don't have the big expenses that come with them. Instead, We focus on creating repeatable, sustainable systems that continue to grow over time and that don't suck up all of our energy or require a 10-person team to manage. You can come see what we're all about at sixfiguresystems.com, and I'll see you on the inside.